I'm Johnny. I am your host. Welcome to the show. I've got a great show for you today. Singer-songwriter Charlie Faye is making her second appearance on the show. She just put out an album this summer called You Were Fine, You Weren't Even Lonely, and she is now out on tour around the United States, promoting that record and doing a very unique kind of performance, which we will talk about in the show. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. I just got back from the Woodlands where I played a corporate thing with some different musicians. My friend David Sanger got a hold of me a little while back. He's actually going to be on the show on Monday. Look at that. Anyway, he got a hold of me a little while back and was letting me know that there was this thing going on. We put together a band. We went and did it. It was really a different experience, but it was great. What we did was we went to the Woodlands Monday night and sat down and had a meeting with this company that had hired us that does these team building experiences with corporations, where they put together a bunch of people and they write a song kind of about what their goals are as a company. All right, so we did that. And you have like an hour. It's really intensive. Like, you got to be able to play all these different styles on the fly. Like, the guy will go like, hey, play funk. And then the band has to go, 1, 2, 3, 4, funk. Just bust into this funk groove. And like, whatever kind of music it was. So we did that. And then we played a show. And it was great, man. It was a great experience. I wish I could explain it more, but I think it would take a really long time. Anyway, it was great. I went with David Sanger, Trish Murphy, Chris Gebbard, and my friend Kyle Crusham from Skyrocket. We went down there. We did this stuff. We played songs, and we played with people later on in the night. It was a lot of fun. Came home, but I'm super tired. It was a long day. It was really hot. And the second show that we played was outside, and it was like, I mean, humid as can be. And like, when I walked off stage, I looked like I'd just gotten out of a pool. So that was crazy. Anyway, I had a great weekend before that. Played with some shows with Skyrocket. I did an interview when I went out to Burnie to do a Skyrocket show. In between soundcheck and the gig, I sat down and did an interview with Chris Taylor for the show. He's a musician, an artist, and he made me a great painting, a personalized painting for my studio. And now it hangs here. I'm looking at it right now. It's beautiful. You can look at it on Instagram. It's fantastic. I'd like to thank Chris. Anyway, had a great weekend of shows with Skyrocket and hanging out with my girlfriend Lori. That was a lot of fun. We went to lunch Sunday with Jane Wiedlin from the Go-Go's. She was in town. We did not get to sit down and do a podcast, but we will at some point in the next few months. But it was great to sit down and catch up with her. I hadn't seen her in a long time, basically a year. Anyway, so that was my weekend. It was great. Looking forward to playing some shows with Skyrocket this weekend, catching up with my... Oh, by the way, thank you guys for all your kind emails about the Monica Pope interview. And that was a great show. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. We've become friends. We're texting. She's coming out to our show in Houston on Saturday. So that's pretty exciting. So anyway, that's me. I'm playing some shows, as usual, doing these podcasts. I'm looking forward to talking to some people. David Sanger, DJ Chorizo Funk, how are you doing? All right. My guest today is singer-songwriter Charlie Faye. She has a new album out called You Were Fine, You Weren't Even Lonely. This is her second appearance on the show. She was on almost 2 years ago, and she had just made a record called Travels with Charlie, where she had hit the road for 10 months, spending each month writing and recording in a different city with a different band, like spending a month there at each time. So that was really interesting, and we had a long, long talk about that. And this time, she went to California, made a very focused album, very much about a breakup, and she went with the person she broke up with, and they went and made this record together. But this time she did it in like 4 days, and then she came back and mixed it with the great Mark Hallman here in Austin. But basically cut the record, most of it, in like 4 days or so. I think so. That's what she said. It was a So now she's out on the road and she's going out to she's hitting the road, and she doesn't really know what to do, and she realizes that she likes the drums and bass from the record so much that she wants to press them to vinyl. And now she's out doing a show with like this old record player, and then with the record player, she puts a needle on a record and it plays the drums and bass tracks from her record, and she plays along with it live. It's a pretty interesting concept. Always doing something new and interesting. That's what Charlie Faye's always doing. Like that about her. And also, we have a great time talking. So I guess I won't hold it up any longer. Here's my pal, Charlie Faye.
Me up just like that.
Does it? It's like coffee.
It is.
Your own voice. That's
all
what,
of a sudden I'm on.
Awake. Have you ever thought of having a podcast?
I've thought of doing so many things. I have way too many ideas and not enough time to execute them all.
Okay. I know. But this is the thing. And this is the thing. One of the things that I think sets you apart in music. And as an artist,
are we already doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, just, okay.
Just jump right in. I wanted to have a crying session on it because I don't really get those on here.
Oh.
I feel maybe we're both feeling emotionally vulnerable enough to just let go and cry.
Maybe.
Don't you have a show tonight?
Yeah, I'm playing with Will. At what is it? The Skylark.
You know, I haven't been there. Where's that?
I haven't been there yet either. It's on Airport and MLK. It's the Latouf's.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
New venue. I've heard great things about it.
And it's weird to think, do people go places where people don't normally go to go out? You know what I mean? Like, do you go to this, like...
Well, I think they do in this case because it's like Will's goodbye party. And Finley's also playing. Finley's playing the opening set.
She's sweeping the nation.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
I need to go into management and just sign her real quick before somebody else
does. Well, someone will.
Someone will. I know.
Someone will.
That's why I feel like someone who has her best interests at heart should make sure that she doesn't get swept up in, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so what I was on my way to saying is that I like that you handle your career in an interesting and adventurous, outside the box ideas way. God, that was a terrible sentence.
Well, it expressed something.
It did. I think that you do very cool things, and I think that you think outside the box, and you do things differently.
Yeah, that's what keeps me excited about life.
You know?
I love playing music, but like just playing music probably wouldn't be stimulating enough for me. Like what I really get a kick out of is having an idea and then making it happen, you know? And at one point, the idea was, I'm going to learn how to play music, and then I'm going to make a career out of playing music, and then, you know,
yeah, you got to keep on doing it.
And then and I'm like, okay, I'm already doing this, and like now, you know, I always have ideas, you know, the 10 town, 10 month tour.
Brilliant idea
that I did.
Yeah, it's like you don't even just go make a record. You go and like, that's the thing is like in this day and age, it's not impressive for someone to show up with an acoustic guitar to a gig and go like, I wrote songs. And not that it's not impressive. It's like, there's so many other choices. Like, what are you going to do to stand out a little bit?
And did then tell you about my new thing that I'm doing?
I saw it on the internet.
Oh.
I saw it when it was happening. I read about it. I don't, you ever see, I like your stuff on Facebook.
You do. I mean,
do you notice my likes?
I guess I don't, maybe.
I don't notice everyone's likes either, I understand.
It's hard to keep track of all the likes.
Right.
Although I try to like, when some people comment, I know. I definitely take note of the comments, and right. I will like your comments.
I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll start taking it one step further.
You'll start commenting.
I'll start having something to say about it, not just a like and move on to what happened to my Uncle Jack's face.
I mean, even if you just say, like, type out, I like this.
That's a good way to accentuate a like, a double like. Okay, before we go off into some idea that we have for Facebook, you are playing with the record player.
Yes, that's my new thing. And I had the idea to do it. Like, I've had this record player, this old Calphone record player for years.
It's the one that gets on the cover. No,
it's on the cover. It's also on the cover of my last record and the one before that. Who took this
picture? Because they really achieved this thing where it really kind of does look like it's 1966. Mm-hmm. Like, it really does.
Yep, that's Alex Klingenberg. She's a photographer from Chicago.
Oh, really? She's brilliant.
She is brilliant. Okay. And, yeah, she comes down here, like, once a year, and we do shoots and stuff, so.
All right, so you had the idea you made this new record, which we will talk about, mm-hmm. but you had the idea to do this.
Well, I had this record player, you know, forever, and I knew, like, well, let's take it back even one step further. When I got the record player, I was looking for one of these because Will had told me that Hunt Sales had this record player that you could plug into and use as an amp, and then it made a really great amp. It had tubes and everything. And,
right.
But then he pawned it, then it was gone, then nobody ever, you know, saw that record player amp again. Then one day Will and I were pulling up in front of the Salvation Army on South Lamar, which then became the Highball, which now is a big hole in the ground.
All right.
And we see this guy unloading one of these record players from his truck.
Did you stop him?
Yeah, well, you know, Will was like, I'm going to go into the Salvation Army. I'm going to be the first one to get that once it's processed, you know, and everything. And I was like, okay. And I stood out there. I started talking to the guy, and he gave me the record player.
He did?
Yeah, he did. I gave him $20 just because I was like, this is so, I want this, you know.
So there's a good story that goes along with it. Okay.
Yeah, fine. So I got that record player, and then, you know, I would plug into it and use it as an amp, and Will used it as an amp a lot too. And sometimes I'd put on a record and play along to the record, which was fun for me.
Does it have a quarter-inch jack thing?
Yeah. And it sounds good as a guitar amp.
I bet it does.
So I would do that. And then at a certain point, I came up with the idea, like, I want to use this, like, for a show. Like, I want to find some, like, something that can back me up.
Yeah.
You know, so because
it's expensive. People
are expensive.
They're really expensive.
Well, I mean, here's the thing: if you're going to treat them right, they are.
Yeah, but we know,
and that's. I mean, a lot of people don't. A lot of people will try to get people to go on the road with them and if you're young and you're in a band,
right.
That's totally
and you're
cool.
Sacrificing, like, I don't care.
Right, yeah. But you know, once people start, you know, having expenses and having kids and,
record
you know.
Record players that need fixing
or, you know, have a need to collect more and more record players, maybe. You gotta make sure you're paying them enough to support their habit.
Right.
Back to the story. Where was I?
You were getting it, gave the dude $20. He gave it to you anyway.
Oh, so I got this Beats, Breaks, and Scratches record.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to write songs to this and then do a show with the Beats, Breaks, and Scratches, like, backing me up. It's going to be so cool. But I could not for the life of me write songs that fit with the Beats, Breaks, and Scratches. It just was not my style.
Right.
So I've had those kind of ideas before
where I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, I can't do this. Like, what the hell is this? It doesn't work. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you try an idea and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But, and I kept this idea in the back of my mind for a long time and even toyed with, like, giving the idea to someone else, like, doing something backed up by one of these record players. And then, you know, a couple years pass and I made this record in L.A. with Jay Belrose and Jen Condos playing drums and bass. And I just love them as a rhythm section so much. Like, nobody beats that for me. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just take the drums and bass and I'm going to get them pressed to vinyl and I'm going to tour with that. So that's what I did.
I think that's fucking so cool. It's even cooler that you didn't just put it on your iPod and do it.
Oh, no, I would not do that.
See,
that's not my style.
I saw Jason Faulkner do that once, and it let me down.
That's
like, you see a guy like, scrolling. There's just something cool about someone
going. You see a guy scrolling.
Yeah. Hey, hang on a second. I'm going to get this thing here. So, okay, this is the sec. Okay, hold on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, it's slightly lame of us to think that that's lame, and then the record player
the record's super cool.
Is cool. Like that shows how concerned we are with, you know, something
aesthetics.
Being cool. But yeah, it's aesthetics. That's what it is. And you know, my stuff, my music is definitely kind of comes from an early 70s.
Yeah, that's what
vibe,
I was gonna say.
You
yes.
know, so
and especially this record.
Yeah,
to
especially
me. And
this
record.
It's
very focused. It has like one sound, not like. Not that your last record had like 50,000 sounds, but you're going around the country working with different people, working in different studios.
10 different cities. Yeah.
Right. And that's not bad. You tried something. You went through the complete opposite, made it very focused, mm-hmm. which is very exciting.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's, where do we even go? Do we go back to start with that record? I read a great article about you in American Songwriter.
Oh.
That's really cool. An interview with you.
Oh, cool.
You like Bearwald?
Oh, yeah. I think he's amazing.
Me too. And I think he's really talented. And I think as an entertainment person in your living room, unbelievable.
Yeah. And, you know, not everyone, but I had heard.
Yeah.
That,
no. I know what you're about to say. Yeah.
I'd heard he was.
Not everyone
like,
feels like I do.
Yeah. I don't know. What can you say whatever you want on a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'd heard he was an asshole.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was kind of, when I was about to meet him, I was like a little. I was just like, I was ready to like have a thick skin.
Yeah.
Right. And he wasn't an asshole at all. He was totally sweet and cool and funny. And
here's something that I have a theory.
Oh yeah.
Because I recorded at the Palindrome in Los Angeles and I had been around Bearwald before, but I never even approached to talk to him in his party situation because I was so scared because of what I'd heard.
Right.
Right.
Who'd you hear it from anyway?
Different people. Not Will.
No.
Will's always like, oh, he's the greatest guy in the world. But Will also likes craziest people ever.
Yeah, Will does like crazy people.
Yeah, so you can't always like go like, well, maybe, you know, I mean, Will likes him, but you never know. So I went and I was going to live in his studio for like 6 weeks and record.
Mm-hmm.
And so my band moved in there and I remember Will was in LA and so was Charlie. And they were like, oh, we'll come over the first day. And Will was like, I'll come over the first day to make sure it's all cool. And he came and spent the night with us and everything. But I think that he has an unusual regard for Will, almost like it's his brother.
Right.
So I think anyone that kind of Will brings
in through Will, yeah,
is like immediately doesn't get something that other people might experience, which I'm super grateful for because I love David.
Yeah.
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 I'm a fan of his work, man. He's a tremendous musician. He's a great writer, great thinker.
Yeah, what a writer. Yeah, smart guy.
Yeah, smart.
Super smart.
And I like that he starts off a lot of his stories with,
Are you going to do a podcast with Bearwald?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. I think
I
have to go there.
Can you do that?
No, I don't want to do it not face-to-face.
You can't do a long
on the phone,
distance
that's
one.
Weird. I'm not Terry Gross.
Well, are you going to go to L.A. and just do something? You should do some.
I'm
going
to go to L.A.
In L.A.
I was going to go this summer.
Uh-huh.
But it has been a slow financial summer to be taking off for a week and living in L.A. And when I go there, I want to live a life. I don't want to go there and, like, have to eat beans out of a can on the corner.
Yeah, true.
You know? I don't, you know, L.A. is not a fun town to be, like, super broke and
no,
nobody
in. No, it's not. And there's so much good food.
There's
you want to be able to eat it all.
And I've got friends out there, and you'd like, oh, hey, let's meet up. And they're like, hey, let's meet at this place. And you're like, oh, let's just, why don't we just go ahead and have dinner at McDonald's first? Then, and then go, you know what I mean? So you were here. You finished last time that we talked. You had finished. You were still promoting the last Travels with Charlie album.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I just put out the Travels with Charlie album.
Okay,
and you were just starting the podcast. It was like number 7 or something.
Really?
It was early. It was early. It was definitely in the first 10.
Weird.
We were in the single digits.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And so now you're back. I like update shows because now we don't have to talk about your childhood or anything.
No, we did that already.
Yeah. People can go, now they can go double up on their, maybe they didn't know the original Charlie story.
If you don't get enough of me from this hour, hour and a half probably that we're about to talk for, then you can go back to the other one.
Oh, you had one of my favorite drummers on here, Mark Hallman.
Mm-hmm. Mark played on one song in there, yeah.
Oh, man, I love the way he plays drums.
He's great. And he, I mean, Mark, again, like, he really curated the Travels with Charlie record. Yeah. Like, I brought all those songs in from the different places. And
made them make sense.
And he made them make sense together. And with this record, he did the same thing. I mean, we had some mixing issues and... Eventually, I was just, you know, I was trying this and I was trying that. And then I was like, I got to just come home to Mark Hallman. You know, basically, I know Mark can make this work.
Yeah.
And he did. He totally saved my butt again. And he's the one who created the rhythm section tracks for me to put on vinyl too. Yeah, and we went through that whole process together of like getting the vinyl mastered. Because by the way,
it's a different mastering.
Yeah, it's not mastered. Like what we think is mastering. Like just so you know, if you're gonna make vinyl, there's one step that you are not even realizing you have to take. So make sure you leave extra time for that. Because yeah, you got to get your record mastered, but then you got to get your vinyl mastered, and it's a whole different thing.
Oh really?
Yes.
Oh.
It's not just mastering for vinyl, right? What vinyl mastering is the actual cutting.
Right.
You know,
or
of
the lathe
of,
or whatever.
Of,
whatever
right,
it's
right.
Called.
Yeah, I don't. I
acetate.
I forget. Yes.
The actual cutting into it, and then you got to make sure that the grooves aren't too deep, and then it distorts something, and then it makes the end of the record. Just my friends are going through this right now.
Yeah.
They're getting the thing, and then they notice that, like, they tried to put too many songs on the album, so. Each side, then now, towards the end of the album, there's like a weird high-end distortion.
Oh, not good. Who's doing it? I used...
I have no idea.
I used Quality Record Pressings in Salina, Kansas.
Oh, yeah? You went American. I like that.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, they were awesome. Also, I don't know who else would have let me just press 5 records. Because I don't need 100 records,
okay,
right?
Okay, that's what I was wanting. So you got some backups.
I got test pressings, and when you do test pressings, they give you 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay, so you we'll go, wait. I feel like I got lost somewhere. Let's
you're,
go back
you're all
to the album.
Tied.
I know. It's too much caffeine.
Ah. At least we're awake now.
Yeah. Oh my god, I'm so awake. I'm
And I didn't even have coffee, and now I'm awake
See?
Too.
It's the sound
it's
of voices in your ears.
Yes.
It makes you go.
It's the headphones.
So when we last talked, then you were finishing up your promotion for that record, and then I read in the thing that you and Will split up, and then that was a catalyst for these songs?
No, the opposite
That's
order, actually. That's how it reads. Read it again.
Making me read on my show.
Oh, sorry. Okay, well, I'll talk while you read. So,
in the midst of her deteriorating, creating a collection of songs, it seems like.
Right.
From every angle. Heartbreak from every angle. That's what I like.
I will just say, you know, our deterioration was a long, slow, sweet deterioration.
That's good.
I mean, our relationship was on its way to over for a while, but we just didn't want to let go. You know, and it was tough because we were like, we love each other. I mean, we love each other so much. And we were like, we don't want to let go of this, you know. So we just kind of hung on for a while after it was, you know, had kind of played itself out. And you know, it was just, it just got sad at times. And we co-wrote 7 of the songs on this record, and almost all of them are about, like, you know, love is so difficult, you know, like fighting with your heart. Like, it's all about, like, the struggle of love, you know. And so we were writing these songs together, and, you know, I'd throw a lyric out there and he'd throw a lyric out there. And it was stuff that, like, we didn't really want to say to each other.
It. It's totally like so Fleetwood Mac shit.
So, we'd write it in the song together instead. And then, you know, I'd be singing it, and I'm, you know, but totally not actually having those conversations.
Right.
It's strange, you know.
Well, but, that's the delicate balance of trying to keep a, you know, because if you really try and air it out face to face, sometimes that's not going to work. It's going to turn into something else.
Yeah. Well, whatever we did, it worked, because I think we had the best breakup ever.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good, because I like you and I like Will.
Yeah. And we like hanging out.
Yeah.
So we still get to do that.
Be weird if I chose sides.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't understand if you chose Will's side. You've known him for a lot longer.
It would be funny if I didn't.
But here's the thing. Like, yeah, if you were like, yeah. Charlie's in the right.
What
here,
is wrong with him?
It's funny. Like, there have been a couple of people who
think they have to,
who have thought that was the thing to do, and like, and like started talking shit about me to Will, and Will was immediately like, no, you don't get this. Like, fuck you. I love this person, yeah. And how dare you talk about them that way?
Yeah.
And that's the way
people
I feel.
Are stupid like that too, because they don't really even mean it. They're just trying to get in someone else's. Hey, I'm on your side, just
right?
So you know,
right.
When the shit goes down, I'm here.
Yeah.
Will. All right. So then you went out to California together and you recorded. How long did you take recording this record?
3 days. We were.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You did this whole record in 3 days.
No, we did those 7 songs with Jay and Jen in
That's
3 days.
That's still a lot.
Then we did those 2 acoustic tracks at Congress House in a day, and then in one night we did that one that Mark Coleman played drums on and the Mastersons are on. We did that one late night at the Congress House. But yeah, 3 days at Jay and Jen's place in L.A.
That's really fast.
It was fast. We slept on their couches.
Yeah.
You know, and we would just like hang out and like cook during the day. Like Jen made some paella and Will made food.
Will makes good
yeah,
food.
He likes to cook. So they were both cooking the whole time and, you know, we'd just kind of go in and out and record stuff. And then people would drop by like, it was pretty great. Like, I wasn't planning on having him on the record, but Greg Leitz just drops by to say hi. Like, he heard we were in town. And he's like, oh, I'll drop by and say hi. So he stayed for dinner, and then we're like...
That guy that plays everything on records and stuff?
Yeah.
He's like a superhero. I met that guy at a party once. He's so cool.
He's awesome.
He's so
just the
cool.
sweetest.
Yeah. And he's so talented. It's it's real weird.
Yeah.
He's like a John Bryan or something. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh.
So who else? So Greg Leeske. So what did he play on there?
He played guitar. Yeah.
Just like, oh, yeah, I'll play guitar.
Yeah. Although
it's like a sought-after session guy.
He totally is. And we stuck him with like kind of the worst equipment, too.
You did?
Yeah. He was like, I could go get a guitar. And we're like, oh, no, it's fine. Here, use this. There's like a really like shitty amp in the bathroom. Yeah. And he's like, I can't really hear myself. And we're like, it's okay, let's go. You know,
that's awesome.
And then he played just like acoustic rhythm guitar, like on one song. And I mean, he just did something on. I think we did 3 songs while he was there, and he was just like, how can I contribute?
You know? Wow, what a lucky break.
Yeah.
Wow. And who else? What else? Tell me more about it.
Mike Thompson.
Is that the keyboard guy?
Plays keys, yeah.
He played organ and Wurlitzer.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's
like,
great.
His feel on some of those songs. On this record, I'm feeling a little bit more of a soul vibe.
Yeah.
Over across the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Beat-wise, does that come from your drum and bass? your drop beats?
No. I mean, those were not...
Wiki.
No, I mean, I definitely hear, and the stuff that I'm writing now, like, you know, since then is even more in that direction, even more in the direction of like Stone in the Road and What's So Special, just kind of like simple soul songs.
Yeah.
And it's probably just because I've been listening to that Stax box set
nonstop
for the past 2 years, you know.
Who are your favorite people on there? I think you were listening to that last time you were on.
Probably.
Here.
I love Carla Thomas. Oh, Carla Thomas. And I named my dog Rufus after Rufus Thomas.
Is that Rufus from Rufus and Chaka Khan?
No.
I'm sure there's more than one Rufus.
Yeah. People always ask, you know, did you name your dog after Rufus Wainwright? No.
Oh, I wouldn't even think about that.
No, my dog definitely likes girls, and he's very scruffy.
You would only name him that if he was gay. That's awesome.
Yeah, if he was gay and, like, you know, really, I don't know, super talented, and no, he's just kind of a scruffy goofball. And
has he ever fallen on his face and broken his teeth?
No, not yet. I hope that won't happen. I'm so sorry that happened to your dog.
I know, me too. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, but Rufus Thomas, he's the guy who wrote Walking the Dog.
Oh yeah.
Do the Dog, Can Your Monkey Do the Dog? He wrote like a bunch of dog songs for the Stax label.
That must have been like a dog thing going on. We need more dog songs.
Yeah, I don't know what it was if they asked him for it. I mean, then you would think other people would be writing it too. I think he was
every
just
week
into
with like a new song
dogs.
About dogs.
Yeah.
Like, hey man, we get a dog another song, but maybe one without a dog in it.
Yeah. No, but Carla Thomas just like kills me.
What did she
me.
Sing? Did she sing Baby? B A B what? No. I have something of hers, and yeah. I see her name on my iPod sometimes, but I can't remember who she is.
Yeah, all I know is, like, on that... See, it's funny, because I don't... Mr. Big Stuff? I have that whole box set, and so it's, like, different people the whole time.
Right, right.
But every time I'm like, who's this one? I look at it, and of course it's Carla Thomas.
Right. Isaac Hayes was a big guy in that world.
Mm-hmm.
Stacks.
Later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I like the earlier and stuff. Yeah, have you seen the documentary?
What? Stax? No.
There's a Stax documentary that I got at Vulcan.
I would love to see it. You think it's online somewhere?
I don't know if it is, and I can't remember what it's called. I have an awful memory, which is why I'm like, why can't I remember the title of a song that Carla Thomas sings? I don't know. But I'm losing that part of my brain.
Okay. Mm. Maybe you should stop smoking so much weed.
I don't even smoke weed. I take such good care of myself.
You do? You look
very
healthy.
My brain is going.
I will say, you know, and even this, like, you're, I think you're coming off a little more sex symbol-y now.
Oh, good.
Is that good?
Sure.
You know? I mean, this poster, it's like a super hot, like, if I was a guy just like, oh, I'm looking through the paper, what should I see tonight? I'd be like, oh, maybe I'll go see this Charlie Faye. She was fine. She wasn't even lonely.
Yeah.
Maybe
exactly.
I'll go see her.
Maybe I'll go see if I can make her lonely. I don't know. I did a thing at KDRP the other day, and
What is KDRP?
KDRP.
Is that a station here?
Yes. You don't know it.
I just saw something about it on Facebook again.
It's the best new radio station. KDRP is basically like the new KUT. KUT is the new KGSR. You know,
oh, right.
I don't know what KGSR is now.
Became
something else.
The Spin Doctors, home of the Spin Doctors. No offense,
yeah,
to Andy Langer.
KDRP, I love. It's 100.1. What?
Sorry, go ahead. So do they do a live thing from Wero's?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right.
And I think that's Larry Monroe does that.
Huh.
But yeah, so I went over there the other day to do a thing promoting the record release, and they had me do those like station IDs, like, this is Charlie Faye, and you're listening to KDRP. Like, this is Charlie Faye, and you're listening to solar-powered KDRP. This is Charlie Faye, and I love KDRP. And then...
I should have you do one for the show.
You should. I can practice. but the guy who was interviewing me, Bill Page, he was looking at my album cover, and he was like, you didn't wear this little black dress to the radio show today. And I was like, oh, it's not a dress, it's a shirt. I'm just not wearing pants. And so when we were doing the station IDs, you know, he was like, just come up with stuff. And I was, this is Charlie Faye.
I'm not wearing pants.
You're listening to KDRP, and I'm not wearing pants on my album cover.
So that's what, you know what you look like? You look like a girl that's waiting around for Don Draper to come by after work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, makes me love.
I wouldn't mind if Don Draper came by.
He's a cute guy.
Yeah.
You like a silent guy like that with the weird secrets going on?
Some
girls do.
You know, just...
My friend Trish likes that.
Maybe in a fantasy world, but in real life, no, I don't want that.
No, who would want that guy as their husband? He's
no.
Weird.
Yeah, I feel bad for his wife on the show. She's so, like, she's got such a good energy.
Megan?
She's so sweet. Megan. Yeah, she's a good one, and... God, she's got this like terrible alcoholic silent guy.
I know.
Who's all jealous even though he's fucking everybody.
Yeah. What's going on with that? And then who's the kind of guy? Have you ever been with the kind of guy that doesn't want you to play?
No.
Like, he doesn't want her to be in the thing. Like, oh, I don't want you on that soap opera.
Yeah, no, I've never been.
I don't want you to be in a movie. Mm-mm. You seem like a very independent person that hasn't had to deal with some shit.
That would not last a day.
No. But what about sexism? Like, do you have a problem with that? I've had some people
say. Do I have a problem with sexism?
No, yeah. I mean, like, is it.
Do you have a problem with that? Yeah, I think it's not good.
Let me rephrase the question. Is it directed at you at times? And how do you deal with it? Because sitting there, I've had someone, Katie Holmes said that mm-hmm. she didn't like the fact that someone referred to her once as a hot chick fiddle player.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
is that sexist? That just seems
sexism, descriptive. Is sexism directed at me? Like, have I experienced it? Sure.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
You don't seem like someone, though, that carries this thing of, like, some people are angry. And they have a defense mechanism, but you're very open without any kind of.
It doesn't serve me to be angry.
No.
I am a feminist, but I'm not an angry feminist. And, you know, in terms of people saying things about the way I look, I mean, to me, the way I look is an asset, you know? And there are times when it can be a pain in the ass. You know, there are times when it makes things difficult for me. There are also times when it really helps me. And here's the thing. It's just a part of who I am. Yeah. Like, this is how I was made. And, you know, so I'll handle the good and the bad that comes with it.
I like your attitude.
Thanks.
Just in life in general. We don't ever even hang out.
We don't hang out. Well, we could
maybe
hang out.
It makes
out.
These shows better.
Yeah, then we make it all happen right here.
We wouldn't have anything to say.
I know.
Okay, so you did this record and you recorded the 7 songs in 3 days there.
Mm-hmm.
Did they mix them then too? I mean, were you guys mixing on, or did you, Holman kind of brought that
into
home?
I mean, that was a long process, and those guys probably won't listen to this podcast, so, I mean,
Well, look, they made an incredible record. And I got to say, like, you recorded those drums in their house and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I love the way their house sounds.
That's the thing. We kept... So they had an engineer friend of theirs mixing it with them at their house. And I didn't take home board mixes or rough mixes with me when we were done because they said, oh, you'll have something just in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And I was like, okay, cool. You know, I can wait. And so 3 months later, I finally get something. And I feel like I can't push for it because, you know, I'm not.
Right. I know that feeling.
You know, it's a delicate
situation.
If
someone does something for you and then you don't want to, but
right.
it's still your art and you want it to be a certain way.
So I get it, you know, 3 months later, and I just was not happy with the mixes. Like, the vocals were really buried. You know, there were some other issues. And I talked to the engineer who mixed it and you know, tried to tell her what I felt was problematic about it, you know, and was very, I was very like, you know, I feel like the vocals maybe are kind of low, you know, but maybe that's just compared to what I'm used to, you know, and maybe I shouldn't have been so soft with my communication. Maybe I should have said, listen, like the vocals are too low in the mix
for me.
Yeah, they need to come up and like, that's it. But yeah, so she didn't bring them up. She didn't really change, you know, make any other changes that made me feel like I wasn't feeling excited about my own record.
Yeah.
You know, I got the mixes and I was like, oh, I'm bummed. Like, I thought this was going to be amazing and now I'm just bummed out. So after a lot of back and forth with those guys in LA, I finally was like, I just have to have Mark do it because I know.
You know what you're going to get.
I know what I'm going to get, you know. And then Mark and I had some back and forth too. Like, I ended up telling him that I didn't want him to touch the drums, like leave the drums mixed exactly how Jay himself mixed them. You know, he sat there with that engineer and he mixed all of his drum parts.
Yeah.
And, so we left that as it was, and then Mark, you know, mixed everything else and made the acoustic guitars and my vocals sound amazing, and so that was that process.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. It sounds beautiful, and once again, you've done something new and exciting for yourself, you know, to keep yourself interested, and but also in a way that a lot of people you know, a lot of people bitch and moan, oh, nobody comes to see me play, and no one does, but no one tries to do anything.
Right.
Outside of what they, like, well, I'm doing the same thing. I don't understand why no one's coming.
Yeah, I mean, think about how you feel, like, I mean, it's different being a musician. Like, we're a lot more tired of music, I think, than regular people. But, like, think about, so you, as someone who maybe loves music more than most people, but also is a little more burnt out on it.
Yeah.
Like, what would make you go see a show? Like, you know, other than the fact that, like, it's a good friend of yours and you want to go support them.
Well,
you
know? You're right.
Like, what makes you go and see a show? Like, you want to be entertained. Like, you want to see, you want to see something different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I feel.
Yeah. And I like that. I like that you took that energy and created a new show. Now, how hard is it? Did you have to rehearse with, like, I saw some pictures. That weren't you rehearsing with the record player?
Yes.
He took some pictures and posted them. Like, oh, I'm practicing.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass.
Have you ever lost your place on the thing and kind of it's going ahead of you?
No. Not, I'm not.
I feel like that would happen to me the whole time.
No, I mean, you just have to make sure that that you've got a monitor, you know, sure that you can hear it well enough.
And so you got to kind of, like, figure out where you're going to do these shows too, because you can't just go.
Right.
You're
well,
not going to go do this at the hole in the wall.
No, I'm not going to do it at the hole in the wall. It has to be, you have to have a decent sound person.
You did it at Strange Brew.
Strange
here in
Brew.
Town. That's a good sound system.
Great. Yeah. Kate's
is
figured
my guy.
Out.
Yeah.
I did the first show with Kate's and the second show with Kate's with the Caliphone. So then
I bet he likes to do new stuff.
Yeah, he did.
He gets
real excited.
Yeah.
He liked it. And then, you know, I asked him to kind of give me advice on how to do future shows and what I could tell to sound guys, and that was helpful. But yeah, no, the show with the Caliphone is a total pain in the ass. Like, and here's why. The Caliphone itself, and I have a few of them, right? They're old record players.
So since you got that one, you've amassed a few, mm-hmm. just in case.
Yeah, I have a few. Will also has a few. He collects the 50s ones. I collect the 70s ones. Got a lot of Caliphones.
That's amazing.
Right? We're hoarding now. But yeah, so I have a few of them, and they all, I mean, they're old. They're not, they don't work perfectly, okay? So the speed can vary.
Oh.
The record will kind of speed up and slow down, like
which changes the pitch.
Exactly.
And with electricity? Like with the flow of, like, you know.
I don't really understand how it's happening, and I probably need to talk to someone who gets that stuff.
I know a guy.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Hook it up.
I'll totally hook it up.
Yeah. That'd be good. Don't forget.
I won't.
But yeah, so, you know, before I start every show, I have to calibrate the record player, which I have gotten used to doing. Now that's, I mean, it's kind of a pain, but I have gotten used to it. And the way you do that, there's this little mirror. Have you ever seen that?
No.
So, like, under the record, there's this little mirror. It's like a strobe thing. You see these little rectangles going by.
Yeah.
And you have to make the rectangles stay still so they're not going one direction or the other.
Oh, like a tuner.
Right.
Oh, like a strobe tuner.
Right.
Wow.
So, you know, before I start every show, I get in there, like, down with my face under the record, and I'm adjusting the speed with the little arm, trying to make sure it's the right speed, because if it's not, I'm going to be out of tune with the record. Now, if it was just drums, it wouldn't matter, but I've got bass on there too, so I have to be in tune with it.
Right.
But occasionally, the speed will change while the record's playing. Not terribly, but enough
for you to notice.
But yeah, enough that I'm like, I'm out of tune with the record player. So I'm trying to find solutions to that. I want it to be a really seamless show. At this point, it's not, I mean, normal people wouldn't notice, but I notice.
Right. Or, you know, maybe I would.
You probably would notice, yeah.
I don't notice stuff sometimes.
It depends on how sensitive your ears are to things being out of tune.
I think one thing, but other people tell me other stuff.
What, you think you're sensitive to it? Other people tell you you're not.
Yeah.
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 They're like, your attitude, Johnny. You can't even hear it.
No. Sometimes I would be mixing an album that I did on my own, that I recorded on my own. Mm-hmm. And I'd be so excited about a guitar part, I wouldn't even tune my guitar. And then later on, I'd be like, wow, that's a really intense chorus on that guitar.
Yeah.
But it's just simply out of tune. And someone would be like, you realize the guitar's out of tune. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I can't change it
because
there's something about it I like.
And you shouldn't, because think about, like, our favorite records. There's all kinds of stuff that's out of tune and out of time. And, like, listen to those old Stones records or, like, you know. Yeah. It's we're taking the humanity out of records
and
by making everything perfect.
Right. And on your record, it's very human. It has a very human feel to it, which I think that probably a lot of those Stax records you've been listening to have.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we did it in 3 days, so it's not like we were doing a bunch of overdubs and stuff. We did it. I sang most of it live, too. Just kept the live
vocals. You're great.
Vocals.
Yeah, you're a great singer.
Thank you.
What's going on? Hmm. You have a very unique voice, too.
Yeah?
To me, yeah. I don't hear a lot. I know it's you when I hear you singing.
It's me.
Yep. I go, that's Charlie Faye.
Well, good.
I think, yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a great thing. What else? So what's your next record going to do? What are you doing now? What's going on? You're going on tour to New York.
Yeah. I'm on the road. I'm on the road a bunch in the next month or two. Going to the East Coast.
To release the record?
Yeah, to do a record release up there. Although the record is released now.
Right, right.
But, you know, you got to do different record release shows.
Where is it available? iTunes.
It's on iTunes, although I'd prefer you just buy it straight through my website or CD Baby.
Okay. Why is that?
Because I get more of the money that way.
I like that you're open about that and honest.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we're all friends here, right? I mean, who's listening to this podcast?
No one.
That's going to be... that's not true. Oh, I'm curious, though. How has your listenership grown since we last met?
It's pretty big.
Yeah,
I have about 18,000 listens per month, but you got to break that up over 8 shows. And yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
So where can you see where it's all coming from? Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, like who are the people?
Yeah, like how are they finding you?
I don't know, but there's a lot of people in the United States and Europe.
Okay, well then let's pose this question.
I ask people all the time on this. Hey, tell me where you're listening from, how you're listening, so I can figure out who you are.
Okay, well then I'll just reiterate it. Like, he's not just asking this like so that you
willy-nilly
can sit there. He cares.
Yeah.
And I care. We're really curious.
Well, I care because I want to make money off of this. And the only way I'm going to be able to sell advertising is to tell people who they'll be selling to.
That's right. I care. Just, so, I'm just curious.
I know. And I like that. You actually care.
And besides, like, it would be cool to hear from people who found the podcast in some strange way. And
you know, I bet that a lot of people find it through, they're a fan of a person.
Right.
That person says, hey, I was on this thing. They go listen to it and they're like, oh my God, what else is going on here?
Yeah, but 18,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
I mean, that's a lot of listens. It might be like, you know, there might be somebody listening to all 8 that come out in a month.
Right.
There's 8? Yeah, 8 in a month.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that is
cool.
You
definitely should know who those people are. Hey, people, if you're listening.
Tell me who you are. I ask them all the time. Like, tweet at me. Tell me your age and sex and where you live and just let
me find
out.
Make it easy for them. How can they tweet at you?
At Johnny Gowdy.
At Johnny Gowdy.
It's always the same 4 people tweeting at me. Although, I will say this. You, I did an interview with Colin Gilmore.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that one.
And you liked this one question that when I did it, I very rarely walk away from doing these where I'm like, I should probably go back and delete that thing I said.
No
because
way.
It sounded so condescending. And then he kind of reprimanded me. He was like, well, I'm sure a lot of people that listen to our music don't have a dream. And then I was like, oh, God, you're right. I'm such a jerk. And then you commented on it, and you were like, that's my favorite question.
I loved that question.
Well,
wait, tell them again what the question was exactly.
It was just like, I can't hang out with anyone that doesn't have a dream.
Do you find it hard to spend time with people who don't
have a dream? When you have a dream. I mean, just like if someone didn't have a dream, it would be hard to hang out with someone that's constantly going like, oh, someday I'm going to build another wing on this apartment.
Well, I mean, honestly,
I like any kind of dream, even that.
Yeah,
like, hey, this is my dream. I want to be able to watch all the episodes of Breaking Bad in one day.
Yeah, like, I'm not a goal, judgmental a dream, yeah. of people's dream. Dreams, but I think if you don't have a dream, if you don't have something that you aspire to, something that you're excited about doing, you're probably depressed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's hard to be around.
Or even like someday I want to have a beach house, or I want to retire to Fiji or something. Yeah. It's just a dream, something. Yeah.
A dream is good. I'm working on, so as you can tell, I'm a real like get things done kind of person. So for me, it's like I have a dream, and then as soon as I have it, like 10 seconds later, I'm like, okay, how am I going to make this happen? So I'm supposed to be working on just let the dream be, you know, let it be a dream. Let it like just hang out as a dream for a while before you start getting to the how of how you're going to make it happen. Because that can tone it down, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, sometimes a gestation period for a dream is needed.
Yeah.
Like for this podcast, I walked around for like a year and a half talking to people about it, asking them what they would do. And they told me. But no one really had any ideas. People still don't. Like a lot of my friends don't really know. A lot of people don't know what it is, the intricacies. People always tell me, like, if you could watch it, more people would be into it. But then how would you walk around listening to it? And then people would have to worry about how they looked.
Right.
I'd have to worry about it.
I like listening to it in the car.
Yeah, I'm walking around or doing something. Yeah. And, you know, or maybe listening to it with your band on the road. I know that I get occasional emails from bands that do that.
Yeah.
Not, that makes
I love
me feel good.
Listening to, you know, I love listening to podcasts.
You listen to it, yeah, and you listen to a few different ones.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I listen to This American Life a lot, and I listen to Savage Love Cast, which I love, but like a lot of people think it's odd. They're, like I wouldn't necessarily put that on like in a car full of people.
What is it? Is it a dirty one or something? It's, or is it like no, sex?
It's like sex? Love and sex advice. It's Dan Savage, you know, who did the Savage Love, which is like a it's like a sex advice column that's always like in the back of the Village Voice.
I should make this on that show too. I could give horrible sex advice.
Maybe you should call in.
Maybe I shouldn't get sex advice
to Dan Savage. He's really funny. But yeah, so This American Life, Savage Love Cast. And then, you know, I get audiobooks too. I listened to the whole audiobook about The Wrecking Crew.
Oh, I bet that was cool.
It was so good. Yeah. Have you seen 20 Feet from Stardom?
No, but I need to see it.
Go see it.
Can I tell you something? I got emotional and cried when I heard The Fresh Air. I was listening to the podcast when I was running, and they had, I want to say, is her name Darlene Love?
No. Uh-huh, yes, yeah, okay. Darlene Love.
So she was on there, and she's singing that thing on the Give Me Shelter.
Oh, yeah.
And they have her isolated vocal
in the thing.
And I literally, like, stopped running and just kind of started crying right there. I couldn't believe the sound of it.
Yeah.
And her voice, and just that's what was going. She was pregnant, and
they had woken her up in the middle of the night to go sing that. Yeah,
what a life-changing experience.
Yeah, you have to go see that movie because, I mean, that piece of it was amazing, but there are other pieces of it that are just that amazing, and it's like the most incredible singing you've ever heard in your life from her. There's this one girl, Lisa, just.
This one girl, Lisa.
Yeah. I can't remember.
This one girl named Lisa. She's so nice.
This is back to my, you know, memory problem. Like, I don't remember her last name. Just remember her name's Lisa. I remember exactly what she looks like. And I remember what she sings like. She's incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories out there of music, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people's stories. You run into them all the time. Who are you listening to right now? What are you listening to these days?
Who am I listening to these days? Oh, I still listen to all the Stack stuff.
Right.
I just heard the rough mixes of my friend Matt Blake's new record.
I read a thing that you said you were scared that you were gonna get rough mixitis.
Yeah, because the rough mixes sound so good, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm trying to find someone to mix this right," and you know, going back and forth between different people. And I was like, "Oh God, I love the rough mixes." Like sometimes I think we should just leave the rough mixes alone. Don't mix. don't, you know, sometimes that first instinct, like, of whoever is recording the thing and just setting the levels, like, that's right. Sometimes that's just right.
Yeah. But in your case, it wasn't.
In my case, it wasn't. No.
No, but I know exactly what you mean. I feel like that about some records I made. I was like, wow, if we had just done the thing that we did that first day, it would have been done.
Right. And you mess with it and mess with it. And it I don't think that that refining it to like the nth degree is the best thing to do.
Kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know? Let me ask you this. What about stuff going on right now out there? Because I read that you would want to write a song with Taylor Swift. I don't know why you would want to do that.
Oh, well, it was
why kind would you want to do that?
It was kind like of that. A joke. Okay. Because I wrote, because there was a question in that American Songwriter interview, like who if you, you know, if you could write with anyone, who would you want to write
Bearwald
with? And my real answer was like, if I could write with anyone, like I would just like to have 3 days set aside to write with Will, because we can write together. Mm-hmm. And
right.
And that would be the most helpful to me. Right. Like if someone would just clear our schedules for 3 days and put us somewhere where we could just write together. So that was my real answer. And then I also said, well, like, or I'd like to write with David Bearwald or Taylor Swift for different reasons. You know, Bearwald, because I think he's incredibly talented. Taylor Swift, because
you might get rich.
If I could get a cut on her album, you know, great.
But you're not out there rocking Taylor Swift songs.
No, I have no idea about Taylor Swift songs at all.
Do you listen to pop radio ever?
No, I really don't.
Does it offend you?
No.
Some people do get offended.
No.
I mean, Finley had some pretty intense opinions that I thought were weird for the demographic that pop goes to, like a young teenage girl.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's more in contact with it. Like, she has to listen to it if her friends are listening to it. So you know, like it. I just don't come into contact with it.
Right. You don't go to the mall?
I don't go to the mall.
Sorry, sometimes my questions are so stupid. They make me laugh.
I've never been a mall grower. Mall goer.
Oh, here's a question I was going to ask you earlier about Will. He's always got really cool suits on.
Yes.
Does he do so much thrifting that he's constantly going through? Does he get them fitted then afterwards?
Or no,
does
he always? He doesn't get them fitted.
He finds them.
He finds them. Well, and they're not perfect. Actually, his suits never fit him quite right.
But they look
and
so cool.
I've always thought, actually, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Because Will's birthday is coming up.
It's coming up.
And I'm thinking, like, crap, what am I going to get him for his birthday? And I hadn't come up with anything yet. But you just gave me an idea. What I'm going to get him for his birthday is like a gift certificate to a tailor, you know?
Oh, that's it.
So
that's
that
pretty
he
expensive,
can,
though, believe it or not. I don't know if you tailor stuff, but I had to have some stuff tailored.
How much does it cost to tailor a suit?
More expensive than you think.
Like what?
Even a jacket.
Like what?
Or something like $150 or something.
Okay. Well, then
I mean, I always
then
feel
a gift
weird
certificate to get one jacket tailored. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, no, he finds stuff, you know, at Goodwill, whatever that looks great on him, but it never does fit him quite right.
All right, I just wanted to know, because I think while he's in Europe for a month, I'm going to go collecting stuff. When he comes back, I'm not going to dress like him, but I'm going to take that idea and run.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he'd get mad.
Do it. And actually, if you told him that you were looking for
happy.
Cool suits,
he'd help me find stuff.
He would totally, when he goes to Goodwill, he'll look for stuff that'll fit you, and he's pretty good at eyeballing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you thrift a lot?
I am not very good at it. And no, I don't.
Where do you
do
get your clothes?
You don't
go to the mall.
I don't do it a lot. Yeah, good question.
You make outfits out of just not wearing pants.
Yeah, I just with your like shirts. I just get a shirt. I got that shirt at Feathers, and then I didn't need pants. You know,
who needs pants? Really,
my underwear is from the Gap. That's all I need. No, I mean, I will go to certain kinds of thrift stores and vintage stores. I'm not very good, like the Goodwill and Salvation Army here in Austin. Like I get frustrated.
I get overwhelmed.
But when I was just in LA, there's this one Goodwill in Hollywood that I love. Like I go there and I find like the best jeans and like jackets and dresses. Like it's a total gold mine, you know. Mm. But that's because it's, you know, Hollywood people like throwing like, you know, really nice stuff away. I might be a little spoiled when it comes to clothes, you know. So it's kind of a perfect dream for me to be able to go to Goodwill and find the stuff that continues to spoil me for like $5 for the best jeans, you know.
I love that. Let's talk about lyrics. Mm-hmm. In Love's Greatest Fault, you talk about in this interview, you have this line that says, it enters without a knock or ring, it has no regard for good timing, and it gets all over everything. That's the truth.
It is the truth.
It really gets, it's...
It gets all over everything.
And then to get out of a thing, you gotta clean it off of everything, and...
But you can't, really. No, love is a stain. It leaves a stain. a love stain. That's getting gross.
That sounds like a good, and I'm going to write a song called Love Stain. People would expect that from me.
You can't clean it off. For me, once I fall in love with someone, I will always love them. It never goes away.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'd always want to be with them. It doesn't mean that I always have that same, like...
feeling from the beginning.
Right, you know, but the love itself stays. Like, I always will have a deep love for those people who I've loved.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of them, right? It's not like a...
You know,
serious relationship person?
I am a serious relationship person.
Me too.
Yeah. Are you a serial monogamist?
I have been.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. I had, my college boyfriend, then my college girlfriend.
Did we talk about that? No, we didn't talk about that on the last one. You had a college girlfriend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were together for 2 years.
No way!
Yeah, my last year of college and then my first year out of college.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Why do I find that so exciting? Because I'm a boy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not surprised, but
it just made me snot.
He snotted all over himself.
Snot came out of my nose.
That's two loves right there. Then I had another love when I was living in New York. And then another one, and then Will.
Did you ever have to work with any of them, like with Will?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I toured with one of them. I was in a band with. We were both band members of a touring entity.
Oh yeah.
It was great, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get scared of that.
Why?
Like working with people and then love, and because it gets all over everything.
It does
and then
get like all some over stuff, everything.
Like, don't get all my work.
But here's the thing. I mean, it's tough, and I definitely, I might be hesitant. I mean, I think I would always be careful with that because you have to make sure first, you know, that you both really respect each other's work. Because if one person like thinks the other person's really great, you know, but the other person thinks like, oh, that person's like kind of sucks, but you know, I love them anyway. That's no good. Then a working together scenario is going to be the end of your relationship.
Yeah.
But you know, if there's a real mutual respect for each other's work, I think it can be a beautiful thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe in my new endeavor with the autism teacher, occupational therapist, we won't have to worry about that stuff.
No, I thought you were going to say maybe we'll start
a band.
Give you some therapy for your autistic tendencies.
I don't have any.
No,
I don't think. I do know some people that do though.
Maybe you could work together on those people. You could play music for them. She could. Therapist.
Well, she did ask me to come and play music for the kids one day.
Oh, yeah? Well, there you go.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that'll be cool. Is this the first time you've talked about her on the podcast?
Mm. Yep.
Oh, well.
She asked me if I was going to.
Does she listen to it?
I don't know.
Is she going to listen to it? I've never asked her.
She doesn't give, like, compliments or anything. It's weird.
She doesn't give compliments?
No, or take them.
Or take them.
When you compliment her, she makes a joke.
oh, she's not comfortable with compliments.
No.
Maybe she'll get comfortable with them. Yeah.
Yeah, I played a show and she came and we had a great time. And then I was like, well, did you like it? And she goes, yeah.
Have you discussed this with her?
A little bit.
And what did she say about it?
I can't tell what you're thinking because you have like a... And she was like, yeah, sorry.
That's it?
Yeah. She acknowledges it. So that's good. She isn't like, what are you talking about? What are you, stupid?
Yeah.
She's not like that.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I also don't date girls in the eighth grade.
What?
No, just like that sounded like an eighth grade person going like, what are you, stupid?
What are you, stupid?
Stop asking me questions. No, I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, I'll see you tonight. I'm sorry. I have a gig where I'd come out and see you guys and be there for Will's birthday because, you know, I moved here in 1991 on Will's 21st birthday. And I was going to come the day after, but I talked to him on the phone the day before his birthday, and he said, you got to come tomorrow, because it's my birthday, and it's going to be great.
Oh, my God.
And we went and saw Slacker when I got to town, and then I went to his birthday show.
How was the birthday party show?
It was real fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it total debauchery? God, you guys at 21, and how old were you?
I was like 22, almost 23.
Okay. Oh, you're a year or two older than Will.
Uh-huh.
I forget that. I always think you're a couple years younger than Will.
It's because I'm so mature. In short, keeps me... I bet people think you're younger than you are, because I think of you as 24.
Do. Oh, God.
Isn't that weird? Like a really mature and together 24-year-old.
Yeah, I am not 24.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're holding it together well. You're 53 years old.
I'm 53, and I look 24.
Yeah.
No.
Well, is there anything that we're missing? You want people to get the album from CD Baby or from your website. They can go directly to charliefaye.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, charliefaye.com. It's Charlie with an I-E and Faye is F-A-Y-E. And I think if you go on CD Baby, you can actually just like listen to snippets of the songs. You can also listen to four of the songs.
You can listen to the whole album on
American Songwriter now, because I'm the writer of the week, but probably by the time this airs, I won't be the writer of the week anymore.
I did enjoy your whole album on their thing.
Well, good. You caught it in time.
I did.
Now you've got a copy.
So you're the songwriter of the week.
I'm the songwriter of the week. But not by the time anybody hears this.
No, but I mean...
then my week will be over.
I mean, there's 52 weeks in a year. There's like 52 songwriters that are going to be spotlighted, and you actually are spotlighted. Does that feel good?
Yeah, it feels good. I'm glad to have it, but you know, it's
next week just, it'll be someone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, can your publicist make a connection with American Songwriter? I mean, obviously you can't suck and have a good publicist and make it happen,
right.
but you could just
demystify the whole thing.
You know, I like to demystify things. I mean, I just know so many super talented artists, like what...
Yeah.
Who don't get stuff like that. Like, I'm the songwriter of the week. Yes, it makes me happy. It feels good. I'm glad that it's out there and that I get to do something like that. Part of it is because I'm good, and part of it is because I have a good publicist.
So if you were to get into an argument with someone tonight about anything, you wouldn't just look at them and go, shut up, motherfucker. I'm American Songwriter of the Week.
Yeah, exactly. I have to look for an opportunity to say that.
I think you should find a way to say that tonight. And when you do, text me and let me know. And Charlie Faye, honestly, I texted you a while back and I said, hey, it's Charlie Faye. And then you're like, who is this? And I was like, how many of your friends would write like a Fat Albert quote to you? And you were like, too many to like.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I've got plenty of oddball friends.
You do, don't you?
I love oddball friends. I was talking to Will the other day and he was telling me because he's got a new girlfriend.
He does?
Uh-huh, yeah. And it's serious too. I think they seem good. They seem similar. And he was like, I know.
I don't know if that's good.
No, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I liked you guys together because I was always knew he was safe.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. But it seems like it could be really good. I think she really gets him.
Good.
But yeah, he was telling me like, oh, you're going to love her. Like, I can tell, like, you know, you're just going to like want her to be one of your best friends. And I was like, I don't need any more like alcoholic, like,
crazy,
you know, dysfunctional people in my life. And then I was like, wait a minute. I love being friends with those people. I just don't want to be in a relationship with one of them. So that's my story.
So alcoholics.
No, I don't really want any more alcoholics in my life.
I don't think I'm an alcoholic. Not that I'm trying to get it with you right now. I just immediately wonder to myself, I wonder if I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. I don't drink all the time. But when I do, girl, I get crazy.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, I know people who I would consider to be alcoholics who they don't drink all the time.
No.
But when they do start drinking, they can't stop. And then they, you know, they mess up big things.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to end the interview on that
note. That was really dark. Oh,
crap.
Well, you were fine. You Weren't Even Lonely is the name of your new album. It's a great album. I enjoyed listening to it a lot. I will listen to it more. Thank you for my own personal copy.
You got it.
Of a physical album. Let me ask you, with all the vinyl, did this come out on vinyl?
I want it to.
It costs so much money.
That's the thing. I could have spent the money that I spent, like, creating the vinyl show, like, with just the bass and drum tracks. I could have spent that printing up vinyl records. Instead, I spent it creating the live show with the vinyl. And I don't have the budget right now to print up the vinyl records of the record. But I've told myself that that's going to be my gift to myself. Like, as soon as I get something that starts really paying me back for this record, like... people buying it, you know, would be good.
Do you get songs placed anywhere?
That'll add up.
Do you have a manager?
I'm working on that. I don't have a manager.
You don't. You're a self-sufficient person. You don't need a manager.
You know what, though?
Business partner would be good.
It would help me to have... somebody in LA or in Nashville
pimping your stuff.
Yeah. So I'm definitely on the lookout for that.
See if they're out there.
Are you out there?
I have a friend that has a publishing company, and he listens to this show, and he also has a podcast.
What's his name?
His name's Tom DeSavia.
Hi, Tom.
It's a fabulous, fabulous man.
Cool.
I bet Will knows him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked at ASCAP for a long time, and he was a guy at a label for a while. And now he's a guy that has a publishing company and a great podcast about vinyl. You would probably love it. And he has great people on there, like Rhett Miller and like Grant Lee Phillips. And
he's sit got a around podcast and talk about
records.
Vinyl?
Yeah, about records. And he does them at different record stores.
On this podcast, I have a lot to say about vinyl at this point.
I should get you guys in contact. When are you going back to L.A.?
Probably in October.
Let's do this. Let's figure this out when we get off the thing.
Okay.
I want to introduce you guys. That's fantastic.
Yay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
And I think he'll appreciate what you're doing.
I hope so.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
I left one of my caliphones in L.A. so that I don't have to... Yeah.
Schlep?
Yeah, because I had to ship one out there.
Yeah.
What
about the East Coast? What are you doing there?
I've got one in New York. So I'm keeping one in New York and one in L.A.
Yeah.
I've got one in Austin. I'll have to drive one up when I go to the Midwest or ship it.
Yeah. I like that you keep them there. Who hangs on to them? A friend?
A friend, yeah.
Maybe one day... it's been a slow summer, but in September, are you going to be around at all?
Part of the month.
Maybe you could help me find a record player.
Sure.
Because I've gone too long without one.
Oh, we could do
almost
that.
Almost 10 years.
We could do that via email. I'll just help you look on eBay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to do it on eBay?
You don't want to?
I want to go find one.
That's going to be harder and more expensive.
Oh, okay. Let's do eBay.
eBay is the way to go.
Send me some links or something.
Okay.
What else so you're going to the East Coast. People can go to charliefay.com and find your dates. It's still a great website, comprehensive.
Thanks. Yeah, it's got this map of...
the United States of America.
Of the country and of my tour, the Travels with Charlie tour, where I lived in a different city each month and put together a band of local musicians each month and recorded a song in each place. And it has like a little postcard from each city.
I'll post the number of the last episode you did, because there's a whole story, the whole story on there too.
Yeah, we can lead right into that one.
Go back and catch up episode one. There was one other thing I was going to ask you.
What?
Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook? Which one is your favorite?
Are you asking that to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Facebook is my favorite.
No, just you.
No, I heard you ask it to Ellen O'Meara.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to her thing.
She's friends with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry. That's a great story.
Yeah, Facebook is definitely my favorite.
Okay.
Facebook has definitely helped me a lot. I mean, Facebook, I've just been on it longer than anything else.
Do you Twitter? Tweet?
Not very well.
Okay.
No. I mean, it's always kind of an afterthought. Like, if I'm doing something on Facebook, oh, I should put that on Twitter too.
Right.
You know? Instagram, I just got on like a month ago.
Okay. I'm going to find you.
Yeah, find me. I feel like it's the best way to keep up with the kids.
Yeah. You
know?
Are you people's kids? Because, like, I have a cousin. My cousin had a baby, and I haven't even met the baby yet, but I've seen,
you
like,
see it
37
on
pictures of her. Yeah.
That's funny. No, I mean, just keeping up with Finley. You
okay,
know?
Yeah,
Keeping up with the 13-year-olds.
The actual kids.
The actual, yeah. Their Instagrams. But no, Facebook, you know, when I was on the road during the 10-town tour, I would use Facebook to, like, help me find my people. Like, I would show up in a city where I didn't know anybody, you know, and I'd go, hey, you know, does anybody know anyone in Burlington that I should play with? And then remember Grace, who worked at Momo's?
Yes.
Yeah, so she,
I like Grace,
she was from Burlington, and so I remember she, and I wasn't even really friends with her, but she saw my posting. So person who, like, not even really friends with, but, you know, would, were Facebook friends, she saw my posting and she was like, yes, like, you have to contact this one guy, you know. So I contacted that one guy, you know, and then that led me to my guitar player, and that kind of stuff just would always happen, you know. Or, like, I'd be like, I'm driving through this little town in California, does anyone have any, like, restaurant recommendations? And everyone starts pouring in with recommendations. I just love I love being able to ask questions to 5,000 people.
Yeah,
at
you have 5,000 friends.
Yeah, I do.
Me too.
I do. Yeah, I'm all full up, but I try to delete some, you know, every once in a while, so I can let some new ones in.
Here's something I've been doing, and then we can end it.
Mm.
I've been deleting the people that are dead, because I don't like dead people on Facebook. It freaks me out.
How do you sort for dead?
I see them and I'm like, well, that person's not alive anymore.
Well, yeah, definitely. But that's like a really slow, like, one by one process.
Yeah,
I would like still. A sort. Can right. I get a sort feature on, on Facebook for, yeah.
Yeah, the living. That's the first requisite to be friends with me.
Yeah.
The, like, requirement to be my friend on Facebook is to be alive, first of all.
Yeah, I remember getting it.
Then there's
getting
another test.
I don't want to be friends with Towns Van Zandt on Facebook.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, you don't.
It's
because,
weird.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
And then people wish them happy birthday and stuff. It's weird. Everything's weird about that.
Although, I mean, what do you want to happen to your Facebook page when you die?
I want to have it bronzed. So when it comes up, it just freezes your computer and sees a photo of me naked. Finally.
You have naked photos on Facebook.
No. No.
No.
I can tell you a story.
Tell.
Okay. And then we got to go.
Okay.
Okay, so
you think we're boring them? I think we're exciting them.
No,
now.
The story I'm about to tell, I've been wanting to tell for a long time because it happened on my podcast.
Oh,
I did a podcast with somebody who came and had someone film the interview.
Uh huh.
Okay, so there's a third party person.
Who was it? Or you're not going to tell?
You know him really well. I don't want to say this kind of stuff so that people don't come to him and go like, hey, what happened?
All right.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
Sorry, people. Anyway, so this particular person had a third person here filming our interview, okay? And what happened was they went back and listened to the filming interview, and they said, I don't like the way I talked on the thing, so I don't want it to come out. And I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So anyway, so after the interview, I'm like, oh, let me get a picture for my Instagram. Will you take a picture of me and this person that was just on my interview thing? Dude, I totally don't take Anthony Weiner pictures and send them out on Twitter or anything like that. I did, however, have a night where I'd had a lot to drink, run into somebody and then they're like, hey, come over. I'm like, I'm too drunk. I can't really drive or anything. And so they're like, all right, well, here, check out this picture of me naked. And so I was like, all right. They're like, quid pro quo. Send me one.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. So I did.
So that was the last picture So I say to this lady,
hey, will you take a picture of me and this person? And I hand her the phone and she goes, oh, there's just a picture of you with no pants on.
You got to be careful who you hand your phone to.
That was unbelievable.
I should say you got to be careful, you know, about taking naked pictures of yourself. But I won't say that. You got to be careful who you hand your phone to.
Look, I think I've got the pictures I got from this other person. I mean,
it was worth it.
No,
it wasn't worth it.
They didn't want me putting theirs out.
Right.
Pretty sure they didn't.
Yeah.
So anyway, on that note, so that happened to me through the podcast.
That's great.
That podcast never came out.
Well, it was an interesting experience to have. It was worthwhile because you had that.
And then I've had to see that person that saw the picture since then.
You've had to see her around since then. Does she act like you're a weirdo or what?
No, they both said, oh, come on, we've all sent pictures like that.
Okay. So you don't feel embarrassed.
Had it been 3 days earlier, I would have been like, I'd never sent a picture like that.
You had never sent one until then?
No.
Oh, wow.
I had girlfriends and I'm not going to send them pictures of my wiener.
Yeah, no. I mean, no one really wants a picture of a wiener.
Nobody does. Except this girl insisted. I think she was drunk. I think that she wanted to see because little dudes and she didn't know and maybe it was small or something.
Huh. I won't ask any more questions.
We should stop talking right now.
And we'll sign off.
Everyone buy Charlie Faye's album. You were fine. You weren't even lonely. It's a beautiful, beautiful album. If you don't have the 10 cities, Travels with Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
10 cities, 10 songs, one album. Go back and get it. You can get it at her store on her website, charliefaye.com. Charlie, I always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah,
honestly,
it's been fun. And I have more energy now than I did when I got here, so something must be right.
Well, we can go walk around the lake.
And then we'll have no energy.
Well, we both have gigs tonight. I got to go smile for 2.5 hours at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm always impressed with you and what you do. You're a good artist and you're always challenging yourself and bringing people along and putting out new ideas, which I think is so important. So Charlie Faye, important artist. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, you don't hang out with people that don't have a dream. Right. Charlie Faye, man. Always a good hang with her, man. She's fantastic. Get out there, get her album, go to charliefaye.com, find out what's going on with her when she's coming to a town near you, when she's playing. Get out there, do it, get involved. Also, last night, you know, I went and did a thing, and a guy came up to me and talked to me about the show a lot. He had a lot of praise, and he had a lot of suggestions. It was great. And, you know, hey, if you ever see me out and you have an idea for the show, tell me. I don't care. I love to hear that stuff. Not just your friends, like I've got this friend that plays guitar kind of thing. Come on, people, get with it. But get involved. Drop me a line on Twitter, at Johnny Gowdy. Check out Instagram photos, at Johnny Gowdy. Go on the Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? You know, see what's going on. And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. When you're there, comment and rate our show. And that helps us because we're trying to secure advertising. We need you to get involved to get this stuff going on, to keep this show free for you. Okay? Let's get down with a little bit more Charlie Faye. Let's get down.
Strength. is without a knock or ring. Love's greatest fault has no regard for good timing.